Well, good morning, everyone. Let me pray as we get into our next lesson here in church membership. Lord God, we thank you for just blessing us with another time we can gather during Sunday school. We do ask, Lord, that you would bless our conversation, bless our time here. Help us, Lord, to just see the importance of church membership yet again. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our church membership class. So far, we spoke about the need and mandate of membership. Remember, we were arguing why it's biblical. We looked at some passages, but if you just look throughout Scripture, you'll just see how the Bible promotes church membership, right? They added 3,000 souls, and in another text they mention over 3,000 men joined the church, and that would imply also women and children. And so it's really important that we read all the Scripture. The book of Acts will be very crystal clear. If you just read the book of Acts, you'll see that people know each other's names. People know who they belong to. And so last week we made that argument from 1 Corinthians and the importance of needing accountability. This week we're going to discuss the goal of membership. But before we do, I want to start with this discussion question, and I want to hear from you. And so just a pretty straightforward question. How do you know if you're growing spiritually? How do you know if you're growing spiritually? We're going to talk about the goal of membership, but this is going to tie into it. How do you know you're growing spiritually? Yeah, Vanessa?
A change in the behavior, the habits you used to have from your worldly life to your spiritual life.
Efren, I thought you saw your hand up too.
I would just say your desire for the things of God grow. Right? Mm. Reading, praying, being around brothers and sisters.
Good, good. So I'm going to share some points from Mark Dever's 12th chapter. Again, I recommend it. What is a healthy church? And so he's going to list a couple of points here, kind of what you guys were mentioning. Growth in holiness. And then he's going to talk about what growth does and doesn't look like, and then how God is glorified by growth. And then, of course, we'll get into our lesson of what is the goal of membership. But I think it's good for us to kind of hear from Mark Dever's book, just to kind of set the tone for today. Now, I like what he says. He says in his chapter, some today think that a person could be a baby Christian their whole lifetime. Growth is treated as this optional extra for zealous disciples. I don't know about you, maybe you grew up in a church, and there were those Christians that were like, whoa, these people, they're going out and sharing the gospel, and they look like they're all on fire for Jesus, and they're only talking about God all the time, and we're just those normal Christians, right? Maybe you grew up in that type of environment. But the argument for today is growth is actually a sign of life. Remember, think of a tree. It's alive if it grows. Recently, you know, there was a tree that died in our backyard, that tree wasn't fruitful, right? And so a true believer would be fruitful, someone who grows. And then he talks a little bit about how Paul hoped the Corinthians would grow in their faith. The Ephesians, which we'll get into today, would grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And then Peter, if you remember when he talks about newborn babies, we should crave spiritual milk so that we may grow up in our salvation. And so, beloved, it's so important that we understand the importance of growing up. We all need to. And so let's consider the first point here, growth in holiness. And so I believe someone, Efren or Vanessa, mentioned it. How do you know when Christians are growing in grace? Well, we don't ultimately know from the fact that they're excited, use lots of religious language, have a growing knowledge of Scripture. Guys, you know this. There's that kid that grew up in the church and they just know how to quote all the Bible verses, but then you look at their life and it doesn't show that they're following the Bible, which is sad. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're growing just because you know a lot about the Bible. You know so many theological terms and you could just, you know, give a whole sermon on TULIP. And so just because someone exhibits maybe an increased love for the church or display of confidence in their own faith, that also doesn't determine that they're growing. Sometimes people can just fall in love with people. Let's be honest. Non-believers do this all the time. They have their cliques, and they just love hanging out with these certain friends because they kind of remind them of themselves. And you can have that at church too, right? Church, easily you can get into cliques. And so that, again, is not a sign of, yes, oh, look, they're always coming to church. Clearly, they're growing in Christ. Now, one of the most important and commonly overlooked signs of growth that must be observed is, again, increased holiness rooted in Christian self-denial. One of the hardest things, beloved, right, is to deny ourselves what we want. Sometimes we really, really want this career or position, or maybe this person, we want to get married with them and all that, but we put it before God. We make it an idol. We are called to deny ourselves and put our faith in Christ every day, and we ought to grow in godliness. And so neglecting holiness, like neglecting church discipline, results in hard-to-grow disciples. Remember, if reason why people aren't growing is because they're not seeing the importance of holiness. And so, obviously, if churches where unholy behavior goes unchecked, disciples become confused and unclear about what life looks like to honor Christ. It's like a garden where the weeds are never pulled out or good things never planted. All right, any questions about that? Just growth in holiness. We're talking about biblical discipleship, growth, some things it looks like. We'll get into what it looks like. What are some examples? But any questions there? Growth in holiness. All right. So what growth does and doesn't look like? The church has an obligation to be God's means of growing people in grace. Mature holiness-seeking influences in a covenant community of believers can be tools in God's hand for growing his people. Again, talking about the importance of the church and how the church is going to be used by God for our spiritual growth. As God's people are built up and grow together in holiness and self-giving love, they should improve their ability to administer discipline and encourage discipleship. And so here are some examples of growth in a church. A growing number being called to missions. If we see people from our church excited about missions, we see that there's some spiritual growth going. Because let's be honest, that call to missionary work is not easy. Or older members getting a fresh sense of responsibility in evangelism and discipling young members, right? We obviously should have a range. We should have the young little kids. We should have the older people. And the older people should have this, I want to invest in the younger generation. They might say, for example, why don't you come over for dinner? Younger members should want to attend the funerals of older members out of love. They don't say, oh, I don't want to hang out with those adults and, you know, they're kind of boring. No, they're going to say, no, I love. This is like a mother or a father to me, and I want to go and visit them in their time of need. Increase praying in the church and more prayer centered on evangelism and ministry opportunities. More members sharing the gospel with outsiders. Less reliance among the members' church programs and more spontaneous ministry activities arising from the members. For example, someone may say, hey, Pastor Nathan, would you think it would be nice if Sally and I organize a Christmas tea for the ladies in the church as an outreach? So you see that there's this, all right, let's not depend on everything that the pastors are doing or the church with their programs are doing. No, we're saying, let's take initiative here. Let me go and do something. It's not like you're just waiting for the pastors or the staff to do the outreach. You think about informal gatherings among church members, and they're going to be talking spiritual conversations, and they're going to also be willing to confess sin, which again points us back to the cross. So they might say, for example, hey, brother, I'm really struggling with fill in the blank. You know, can you keep me accountable here? Increased in sacrificial giving. Maybe you might say, honey, how can we cut $50 from our monthly budget in order to support the local church or the missionaries, right? You're going to see increased fruits of the Spirit. Members might make career sacrifices so they can serve in the church, right? There's some people that they say, you know what? No matter what, I'm not going to work on Sunday. That's going to be a sacrifice for them, right? And that looks different for different people. They might pick a career that they know they're not going to miss on Sundays. You have husbands leading their wives sacrificially. For example, they may say, sweetie, what are some things I can do to make you feel more loved and understood? I don't know about you. Have you said that to your wife lately or your spouse? Hey, what can I do, honey? That would be nice. And I also, I need to do that more. Maybe the wives submitting to their husbands. You know, sweetheart, what are some things I can do today that will make your life a little easier? They might say that, and that's always nice to hear, right? parents disciplining their children in the faith. And so these are just some examples of church growth. Do you guys have any others that maybe I didn't say, some that you can think of? What are some things that church growth is, and what are some things church growth isn't? So talking about church growth, really important to see, like, okay, is the church in unity? Is the church growing in really being patient with one another, understanding where the other people are coming from? So again, a reminder, how does church growth begin? Well, there has to be good Bible teaching, biblical theology, gospel centeredness, biblical understanding of conversation, evangelism, membership, discipline, and leadership. And so let's look at the last point again before we get into our lesson. God's glorified by growth. Again, when we do encounter a church composed of members growing in Christ, who gets the glory? God does, because we know Paul said in Corinthians, God made it grow. He brought the increase. And so neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. If you look at Peter in his second letter, we'll see this in a couple months. He says to the group of early Christians, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, to him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And so, yes, we ought to grow. It shows that we are born again, true believers, but God gets the glory. We need to remember that important point. We know Jesus said, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works. And again, to praise God the Father in heaven. And so it all points to God and him growing us. All right, let's get to our lesson now. That was kind of just a intro. So what do you think are some ways that church membership should impact your life as a Christian? Why don't we just, again, focus back on church membership. What are some ways that church membership should impact your life? Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's good, understanding. Yeah, did you have something? Rick?
Oh, yeah. Okay, you didn't call anybody.
Sorry, no worries, go ahead.
Okay, so a lot of times, like, you got to be in prayer at work, God, I want you to go. Because I hear too many people, yo, I go to this church. They sit there, they gossip about one another, but service going on, and some people to apply. I grew up in the church. You know, I came to this church, 2011, Brackville, some of the other guys there, John Michael Thomas, you might not know.
Yes, I have heard of them.
One of them actually moved to Georgia, actually, but it was totally different. I came back, and you know, so I was going to get a ride every Sunday, and I went to another church, Shell on the Rock.
So you bring up a good point. It's obviously understanding, is this the church where I'm going to be a member at? And so it's definitely more than simply just putting your name on a list. If that's all it is, there's, you know, no wonder why it would be indifferent toward the idea. But based on our study so far, a picture of church membership should be developing in our minds that is far more than having your name on a list. And so here's the main point for today. The goal of church membership is that every single church member would help the whole church grow to maturity in Christ. Beloved, this is what we're getting at with the main idea for today. What is the goal of church membership? It's that every single church member, that's going to be a key, will help the whole church grow to maturity in Christ. And so what we're going to do is see from Ephesians 4:11 the point of church membership, the goal for it. But any questions or comments about that goal of what church membership is? All right, let's dig into it. Ephesians 4:11. Look at Ephesians 4:11, verses 11 to 16. Really important text. So Paul exhorts us to live in unity in the church in light of the unity we have in Christ. That's verses 1 to 6. And then after explaining how Christ conquered death and gave gifts to his church, verses 7 to 10, he specifically names some of the gifts and talks about the purposes which Christ gave them. Okay, so guys, we're going to really focus in on Ephesians 4:11 to 16. So when I ask the questions, we want to make sure we're looking at the text. Right? That's where the answers are going to come from. Okay, so make sure you're looking at Ephesians 4:11. And so when I ask a question, just go straight to the Bible. So the first question is, what are the gifts that are given to the church? Let me read the passage and you'll see it for yourself. Ephesians 4:11 to 16. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, by speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, with whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. All right, so this is really where we're going to park the rest of our discussion. And so, again, just have your Bibles open. The answers are going to be right there. And so I'm going to ask a lot of questions, some discussion questions, some just straight, just knowing what the Word says. So here it is. What are the gifts that Christ has given to the church? Yeah. Correct. So the gifts Christ has given to the church are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, some Christians disagree about how to interpret the meaning of these titles, but at the very least, we know that Christ still gives his church pastors and teachers, since we know elders are called to teach the word. All right, here's the next question. For what purpose did Christ give these gifts to the church? For what purpose? There we go. Christ gives these gifts to the church for the purpose of equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. Again, according to our passage, who is it who does the work of the ministry? Okay, this is really important. Who is it? The saints. Correct. All of them do the work of the ministry. And who's the saints again? All believers. All believers are the saints. Now, this is important. How is this different from the way maybe you grew up in this type of church that we often think about the ministry of the church? We're saying that the saints do the work of the ministry. Maybe you grew up in another church, and what did they say? It's just the pastors, just the staff. Let them do everything. The saints, they're just going to get fed spiritually. No, that's not what Ephesians is telling us. We often think about ministry in the church like the paid pastors do all of it, and we're the ones they minister to. But according to Paul, pastors equipped us to do the work of the ministry, which means that the work of the church is far more important than we often think it is. And so I don't know about you, but do you have some experience of this in other churches where the pastors just do everything? Or do you have other experiences at other churches where you see them setting up for them to do ministry work? I don't know about you. Has anyone been in churches where it's just mainly the staff?
Thank you.
So, yeah, you bring up an interesting point with deacons, elders, and then you have church members. So it is good to go to a wiser person and, you know, ask for counsel. It's good to, obviously, you know, do pastoral counseling and all that. However, the point of our text here in Ephesians, again, let's focus on the text. There's this work of ministry. There's this, the church is going to be active. It's not just receiving from two or three people that are active. It's all of us are being active in the church. You know, from my experience, I remember where, yeah, it was the expectation that we kind of just go there and get fed and then leave. You know, we didn't really help as much with anything that had to be going around in the church, you know, back then when I grew up. And so now I see the importance, especially in Ephesians 4, of all of us being active, not just one or two. Now, again, our next question here, really important. What is the goal of the church growth? Look at verse 13. What is the goal of the church's growth? What's the point? Why are we going to grow? Look at Ephesians 4:13. Anyone see it there? Veronica? Yeah, so that every member would attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And it says it there, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And what does this teach us about how we should or shouldn't evaluate our church? When we're looking at verse 13, what does that teach about our church? What does it show us about church growth? How can we evaluate? Yeah. Yeah, so we're all helping others to grow in the knowledge of Christ, the unity of the truth, and Christian maturity. Yeah, too often we evaluate our church based on whether we like the music on Sunday morning, whether the service was entertaining. You know, did I like what the speaker say? Was he, you know, keeping me focused and captive, you know, by what he was saying with his personality or charisma? Or do we see that, no. Is the church being administered properly? Is it being fed spiritually? Rather than, oh, I just want my needs being met. I just want my preferences being met. So rather, we should ask, how are we doing? How are others doing? Are they being built up to maturity in Christ? And so maybe you've seen this where in some churches, the music is more important than maturity, right? We don't really care too much about people growing spiritually. We care about more of, hey, how did everything sound? And it's so important we need to get back to the biblical model of Ephesians 4. All right, next question here. What threat to the church does Paul have in view in verse 14? What threat of the church does Paul have in view of verse 14? Yeah. So false teaching, right? False teaching. That's a threat. What will happen once we all attain to mature manhood? Keep looking at the text. What would happen once we attain to mature manhood? Talking about the danger of false teachers, but if we're mature, we will be successfully withstanding false teachers. We're not going to be, look at the text again, beloved. As a result, verse 14, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So when someone comes in with a claim that Jesus already came back in 70 AD, there's no future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the new heavens and the new earth. Are you prepared spiritually to give them an answer and why that's not true? Are you mature enough to say, no, the word says that he is coming back, and you quote this scripture, quote that scripture? This is important, again, beloved, our maturity and how we withstand false teachers. All right, let's keep going here. If maturity means that we're all unified in the truth and are able to successfully resist false teaching, what are some practical ways you can help others grow toward that goal? So how do we help others grow toward that goal, to withstand false teaching, to be unified in the truth? Speaking truth in love. There you go. That's the answer in our text. Look again in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects. And so maybe that looks like calling each other up throughout the week, see what encouraged the other person about the sermon, maybe do some Bible studies, some devos together. It's really important, beloved, that we not just be Sunday Christians, right? We just come to church on Sundays and just, all right, see you next Sunday. No, we need to reach out to one another and see how they're doing spiritually. What does it mean that the church grow up to maturity? Again, the church grows up to maturity as every member speaks the truth to each other in love, and as every single member of the body supplies what it's supposed to be in order for the body to grow. And so that's in verses 15 to 16. Okay, so Nancy, you brought up speaking the truth in love. How does that look like practically? How does that look like practically? Speaking the truth in love. What does that look like, beloved? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's kind of what we were saying before with Dana. Being patient with one another, not gossiping, but encouraging one another. You know, that can obviously be during our agape fellowship after church, which is why we obviously love to see you guys every week. But it could also mean on Wednesday nights, you know. Could mean reaching out to one another throughout the week, seeing how you're doing, and then just being patient, again, is so important. It can be easy, beloved, to just assume, come to our own conclusions, and this person is being nasty because they don't like me. But instead, we should remember 1 Corinthians 13. Love bears all things. Love is kind. Love is patient. And so think about Christ and how patient he was with the disciples every time they denied him or betrayed him. We need to be patient with one another. Yeah, Ricky?
You know, I played drums at a church in Atlanta with my job. And it was done. And I was getting paid for it. And I always was thankful for the message. But I had to question a lot of things. Like, I know I can be judgmental.
Yeah, so
in my soul, and I think we should be like that, not in a rude way.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I just feel like that. And it was a certain individual in the past, like, well, you know, when we try to work with that individual, we don't know what people outside church.
Yeah, so you bring up a good point. There's this balance of, all right,
but I heard the message.
Yeah.
You know, I can hear you. I'm not pointing the finger
at you. No, no, yeah.
20, 30 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what that means is that I can tell you something 50 times and you don't get it. So how, not being a buddy, but how in the church we do better? I can be happy,
So Ricky, you bring up a good point. Let me kind of bring it back to the study, because it's important that we stay in Ephesians, right? So again, like I'll say it again. Let's focus on what we see in Ephesians, because it's going to help us kind of grow to maturity here during our time as well. But you bring up a good point. So there are times where we have maybe churches or elders or whatever you want to say not doing their job, right? And that, of course, is not going to help the church grow, because we saw the beginning of Ephesians which was God has gifted us with what? Pastors, teachers. If they're not, Ricky, like you were saying, doing their job, then it's going to be completely opposite of what the Bible teaches us and how the church is supposed to grow, because they're not setting up the saints, equipping them for the work of the ministry, but rather they're really bringing them down. They're not actually doing what they're called to do. And so, really important that we see the biblical church model and how that goes about. But let's continue here with this question. What percentage of the body needs to contribute in order for it to grow properly? I think, Bob, you mentioned this earlier, right? What percentage of the body needs to contribute in order for it to grow properly? All of it, yeah. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fit and held together by what every joint supplies. Okay? And so it's 100% of the body is needed in order to grow, for the body of Christ to grow properly. So, beloved, again, we're talking about church membership. If you're going to be a member, that means you're included in this body, which means we need to hold each other accountable. Efren, did you have something? Yeah, so that, again, is talking about the harvest. The harvest is plenty. So this is how I look at it. I'm a sports guy. I'm always going to look at it like that. This is the huddle, right? This is the huddle, and we're going to go out and make disciples of all nations. In our huddle, we gather. You know, maybe you have a coach, you know, who's giving you some exhortations, doing some teaching, running some plays, and we're going to go out, and we're going to spread the gospel. So with the harvest is plenty, it's simply stating the world, the harvest is plenty. There's so many out there. We need to go fishing, right? We're fishermen. And so let's go out. But what happens is the laborers are few. It's sad. But yes, as believers, not all of us grow to that aspect of seeing the urgency that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And so we pray. And usually the Lord sends us out. That's kind of just how it is. When you're praying for, please, Lord, we're praying for laborers, and then you see your need to be a laborer. And that's, you could hear any missionary, they kind of use that, because it's true. That's really what it's about. But yes, to answer your question, Efren, it's not to say that it's going to be a car without any issues and it runs 100%. We are going to be, at times, needing to go to the mechanic and get fixed up. But the thing is, it's a beautiful picture when all of the church is in unity, all the church is growing together. But what the point there is we need each other, right? Just like a car engine, you know, changing that belt, that left tire, the engine, obviously, we all need it to work or it's not going to be properly. And so the point is seeing the need that we need each other. That's the point. But of course, doesn't happen all the case. Yes. Yeah, it's something here. Are you talking in Ephesians 4? Where are you getting that from? Yes. Yes. So you're giving us some examples. Sorry, I didn't catch what you were. Yeah, some examples of church growth, again, is loving one another. You know, Dana brings up a good point. If we see that there's love for one another in the church, of course, we're going to see some spiritual growth. All right, let's keep it going here with this next question. What are some ways in which a biblical practice of church membership helps contribute to this kind of growth? So this is really where it all leads up to. Again, we're talking about the goal of church membership. It's to grow. And so how is it that church membership helps this, that we grow? Like, what's the point of having church membership? It's going to be very similar to what we spoke about already in week 1 and 2. But again, we're making the argument that church membership is good, it's biblical, it's an aid. How does it aid to this goal that we grow? Does anyone want to give it a shot? Yep. Yeah, no, you bring up a good point. Again, it provides accountability, which helps members to overcome sin and growth in holiness. If we call ourselves sheep, if we call ourselves believers, church membership is just us saying that to the rest of the people that are present in the room and saying we want to be held accountable. I'm a true believer. Please hold me accountable. That's just one area where church membership really helps. Again, it's about commitment to each other. We're talking about being part of the same body here. And so again, church membership promotes that idea that we want to be committed to one another. And then, of course, we mentioned this last week with the Hebrews 13:17 passage. Church leaders have the knowledge of who are they going to be held accountable for to. You're saying, yes, I'm a believer. I want to be held accountable. I'm going to, you know, share my testimony in front of the church. This is my church. Okay, I'm going to hold you accountable. And so it's really good for church leaders. It's good for members as well to have church membership. Any questions or comments there? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really important there. You want to serve, right? You want to serve in the church, then being a church member is the first step. Because you're going to say, yes, I am a believer. I want to be accountable again. I want to be responsible. I want to serve in this church. And so that's kind of like the first step there. All right, we're almost coming to a close here. How do you think your contribution to the church's growth will be affected if you weren't a member of the church you regularly attended? Now, let's say you don't become a member, okay? Because let's be honest, after this church membership class, some of you that are members, great, but some of you that aren't members might say, well, I don't want to be a member. How will that affect if you end up going that route? Again, it's kind of like our other questions, just like looking at the opposites. If you don't become a church member, what does it say? Yeah. Vanessa, and then I think Efren, you had some. Yeah, Jen, you had some?
I was just going to say accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, again, that has kind of been the key word for this whole lesson here with church membership, accountability. Beloved, again, we go back to the first lesson. When you think you're above it and you don't need to be held accountable, what is that saying? You know, you're being prideful. You're thinking you could handle it on your own. But no, we can't. Dana, you had something?
If you want to be good at something, you have to have experience.
Mm.
You must be committed 100% or, you know, step by step. You're not
going to
get there.
Yes. You know, part of church growth is commitment. And so we need to be committed here. Good. All right. We got one last question. Efren, you go ahead and then.
It's also very important why you're not becoming a member.
Mm. Kind of like what Ricky was saying. Yeah, yeah. No, really important there. I think it's good to ask ourselves, why is it that we don't want to be a church member? There's a reason for it. Yeah. Yeah, that delegation, really important. Yeah, we don't want to hinder people's growth, right? I think it goes back to what Efren was saying. There are some churches where they're not, you don't want to be a member there because they're not really contributing to the growth. And then that's why you go somewhere else where you see maybe biblical leadership, biblical discipleship, discipline, all these important parts of a healthy church. All right, let's go to our last question. We're coming to a close here. In light of this picture of every member of the body contributing to the body's growth, here's our last two questions. What are some concrete steps you can take to help your church grow to maturity in Christ? And again, how would you describe the goal of church membership? We talked really about what church membership is, but we need to also remember the goal of church membership. We're not just doing church membership. So then we have, again, just a list of all the people, and we can take a little pictures, look really nice, and say, hey, guys, look, these are all our church members. We're growing. Oh, what is the goal of church membership? We want to see spiritual growth. And so let's end with this. What are some concrete steps you can take to help your church grow to maturity in Christ? Again, we're putting it on you now, right? This is all of us here. Veronica? Yeah, good point. Yeah, Jane. Yeah, church membership definitely promotes a healthier church. Anyone else? What are some steps we can take to grow in maturity? Efren? Really good stuff here. All right, we're going to come to a close here. So all I really was going to mention, kind of like what Efren said, reach out to one another, pray for one another, be active in your church. You know, don't be that person that doesn't step up. Be active. You see a need, or maybe ask, hey, how can I help? We definitely want to see people stepping up. So next week, we're going to talk about the challenges and nature of church membership. The challenges, we kind of brought some of them out today, but we're going to see the challenges and nature of church membership.